Amen. Our thanks to both of you for the songs this morning. To God be the glory. Brother Durant, he had two members of his family who have had the COVID too, but they're doing nicely, he said, and so we're glad and thankful for that. We're living in times that it seems like it's difficult for us to rejoice and be glad, you know, because there are so many burdens that we have to bear. But we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we need to keep the faith, you know. And this is going to end sooner or later, I'm sure. And so I just want to thank you all again for supporting the church, for helping us keep the doors open, helping us keep the gospel going forth. It's very important that we do so. And we're so thankful that you're with us today. I do it as our interest in your prayers. I really feel the need of the help of God. My lesson today is going to be taken from Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 23 through 31 as a scripture lesson. But I think I need to maybe say a few words before I begin to read. Peter and John, this all took place in the first century. They went up to the temple to pray, and they encountered this crippled man, and he asked an alms of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he reached forth his hand, and the man took him by the hand, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he was healed instantly. And he went running down the street, praising the Lord. They were arrested, Peter and John were, and they were kept overnight in jail because of this. And they questioned them. They were grieved. The officials, they were very grieved that they had been teaching the people and preaching that through Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. Now that's the purpose why they arrested them. They were grieved at the preaching that they had been doing. And they threatened them and told them not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And so Peter said, we're going to continue, you know, whether it's right for us to do what you say or right to do what the Lord says, you judge. And so they went back to the church. And now I'm going to begin my lesson. Now you can read all of that in chapter 4, 3 and 4 of Acts. And I'll begin reading at verse 23. "And being let go, they went to their own company, which is the church." They went back to the church, the congregation Christians in Jerusalem. So they went back to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. My subject tonight will be, or today, will be the rage of men. The rage of men. Now, I don't know right at this present moment exactly what I'm going to say, but I believe that God laid this subject on my heart, and I'm going to try to do the best with it that I can. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is able to give me the ability to say what he wants said in this service. So you please pray for me. Of course, this reference that the apostle made to David, you know, he said, God, by the mouth of David, thy servant, spoke. And that's recorded in the second Psalm. And I want to go over there and see if I can connect these up together so that we can understand the subject maybe a little better. In the second chapter, the question is asked, why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? That means, why do people meditate upon vain things? Imagine vain things, empty things, things that are of no value, no profit. He said, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet, verse 6, yet, in spite of all of this, all of the opposition, all of the rage, everything that's going on, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, again, I ask an interest in your prayers. As I said, this happened in the first century A.D. And you know, in the day and age in which we live, A.D. 2020, you know, the people are still raging. The heathen are raging. And opposition is not to the individuals necessarily which are upholding the Lord Jesus Christ, but the opposition is to the Lord Jesus. We notice in this lesson I read, the rage was against Jesus. Listen, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou anointed, he said that Herod and Pontius Pilate, you know, they became friends. They were at outs with one another until each of them examined the Lord Jesus. After He had been arrested and given a mock trial, you know, by the Sanhedrin court, they delivered Him unto Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate examined Him. Then he handed Him over to Herod, and Herod examined Him. And the conclusion of both of them, you know, they agreed upon one thing, that Jesus had done nothing worthy of death. But that they were a part of the group of heathen people that were opposing the Lord Jesus. And I say that because they could not have crucified Him had not Pontius Pilate give the word, "Take ye Him and crucify Him." So they were a part of the conspiracy against the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said that Pontius Pilate and Herod, they were involved in it. The Gentiles were involved in it. They were a part of that mob, no doubt. There were some there. When they were crying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him. Let His blood be upon us and upon our children," you know. "I take ye Him and crucify Him." Pilate said, "I'll release to you Barabbas, and I'll scourge Jesus and let Him go." And they said, "No, no, no, crucify Him, crucify Him." And then the Bible said, and the people of Israel, they were involved in it too. And so they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But the rage, that's the point I want to make. The rage, you know, the opposition, the anger, you know, was against not necessarily those who were promoting the Lord Jesus, but the opposition is to Jesus. You know, Jesus, He is a friend of sinners. He always has been. He always will be. He loves sinners. He wants them to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But there are those in the world today, even as there was in the first century, you know, that are opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're opposed to the Word of God. They're opposed to the work of the church. And they want to, destroy the works of God if they can. But I want you to notice, you see, the evil association that was in this group of people, you know, they all bound themselves together against the Lord and against His anointing. And their objective was, remove the bands and break the cords that bound them. You know, in the Bible, you know, is a book of law and order, you know. It is God, when he set up this universe, he created the heavens and earth. Then he made all the things that are in the heavens and earth. And then he created man and gave him a wife. And God brought them together. The institution of marriage, you know. And God said, what God had joined together, let not man put asunder. You know, and the home was established. And then God gave children to the first family. And families were established. And there's all, throughout the Bible, there has been order to the civilization. And so they said, we're going to remove the bands, you know. We want to be free of the laws of God. We want to be free from these things that restrict us. And so they rage, you know, and they oppose the Lord Jesus and his teachings. David, he said this 1,000 years ago when it was prophecy. You remember reading in the 2nd chapter of the book of Acts where it speaks about David being a prophet. He was a prophet of the Lord. And he prophesied that this would happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it did happen to him. Just as the prophet prophesied that he would. And the heathen raged against Jesus. We will not have this man to rule over us, you know. And so they did not realize who Jesus was. And I think today a lot of people don't understand, you know, religion. They don't understand the Lord Jesus. They don't understand the church that Jesus purchased with his blood. They don't understand its objective, what we're trying to do. We're trying to point people to the Lamb of God that can take away their sins. And we're trying to help them, you know, to go to heaven, so to speak. And I say it in that way because of this. How can they believe on him in whom they've not heard? You see, Jesus said for us to preach the gospel to the whole world. Let everybody know about Jesus. Let everybody know that Jesus is the Son of God. Let everybody know that he is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Let everybody know that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the bright and the morning star. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. You see, the Lord Jesus is the one who created the heavens and the earth. And he's the one who gave his life to save the world from total destruction, both soul and body. You know, Jesus said that. He said, you shouldn't fear men. You need to fear God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know. But the heathen rage on. And they wanna break loose from the Word of God and the restrictions of the Word of God. The Ten Commandments. God said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee multiple gods. You know, images and call them gods. There's only one true and living God. His name is Jehovah. He is an intelligent spirit. And he communicates with men. And he speaks to us, and we can hear his voice, not with our ears, but with our heart. He speaks to our hearts. And so, you know, what could be wrong, you know, with the Ten Commandments? You can't find anything wrong with the Ten Commandments. You know, what's wrong with saying, thou shalt not kill? What's wrong with saying, thou shalt not steal? What's wrong with saying, thou shalt not commit adultery? What's wrong with saying, thou shalt not covet? Those things make for an orderly society. And that's why God gave them. And they're God's moral standards. You know, it's just amazing to me the way that people rage against God, and they rage against Jesus, and they rage against the church of the Lord Jesus. And they're still doing it today. So the heathen rage, trying to figure out some way to get out from under the laws of God. But you can't do it. You can't do it. There's no way that you can. The lesson that I read from over in the book of Psalms, it said the Lord sits in the heavens and he laughs at this foolishness, you know. He's amused. Maybe not amused, maybe that's not the right word. But you know, he sees what, you know, a puny man is, how he's trying to overthrow God. And he laughs. And he's going to have the last laugh, Jesus says. And it says that in spite of all of this, God has set his son, Jesus, his king, on the holy mountain of Zion. And he is there today. He is the Savior of the world and the only hope of mankind. The only hope of mankind's the Lord Jesus. And so, instead of teaching people to love one another, you know what's going on in the world today? We're teaching people to hate one another. But I believe today that the religion of love is more powerful and stronger than the religion of hate. I believe it is. We need to love. We need to love one another. We need to love God, and we need to love Jesus, and we need to love the church, and we need to love the gospel, and we need to love sinners, and we need to manifest our love to them. So, the Bible said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, we can't just say, whoop, we can't do anything. That's not the correct response. We're to put up a good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And we're to stand firm in the teachings of the Lord Jesus. And we're to promote the gospel. And we're to support missions, and we're to try to get the world to hear the truth of God's word. And so, I want to go back to Psalms for a minute. Listen to what it said. He said, thou shalt... Well, let me back up a little. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So he said, be wise. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed. Be ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Now, that don't mean literally and physically kiss the Son. That means show love and affection and admiration for the Son of God. It says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Bless all they that put their trust in him. So there are billions of people in the world today who are not Christians. Did you know it? Christians, you know, are followers of Christ. They imitate Christ, emulate Christ. They try to live like Christ lived. But there are billions of people that are ignorant. And I don't mean they're not intelligent. They are some of the smartest people in the world say that they're atheists. They don't believe in God. But I don't call that a very smart person. They're ignorant. And perhaps the most of them are willingly ignorant. Ignorant because they want to be uninformed about the Lord Jesus and about his mission to this world. They're uninformed about it, and therefore they oppose the Word of God. But I want you to notice this. Psalms 33:12 said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Whose God is the Lord. You know who the Lord is? The Lord is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, you know, that God hath made this same Jesus, which you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is the Savior, and he is the Lord. He is Lord of all. That's what the Bible says too. But listen, Proverbs, in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 13, it says this, righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But it says, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know what sin is? Sin is the transgression of God's law. Breaking God's law, that's sin. And it's a reproach. And God does not look favorably upon it. The Bible also says this in Psalms chapter 9, I believe it is. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell with all the nations that forget God. People can rage against the Lord and his Christ. They can try to get out from under the laws, the moral laws of God. They can try to break down every institution that God has built and God has established. And he's done it for the good of the people. For our good, God. So we could have a civilized society. So we could live in peace. So we could worship God and serve him according to the dictates of our hearts. And yet, they rage. And they rage. He said, be wise. Be wise. Serve the Lord. Acknowledge him in all of thy ways, the Bible said. Acknowledge him. Well, I want to go back here to this passage in Acts just for a few minutes. These men were not intimidated. They were not intimidated. They stood for the truth. They stood for the right. In these days in which we're living, folks, I implore all of us, let's stand for the right. You know, there's no way in the world to put a value upon this church. You know, why? Because of what it stands for. Not because that we're so good, but because we represent someone who is so good. We represent the Lord. And we have a message from God, you know, whereby people can escape the damnation of hell. And so we want to keep keeping on, and we want to keep keeping on. But they were not intimidated. They threatened them, said, don't you preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And they kept on preaching in the name of Jesus. And you know, they went back to the church and they told the church about what all had happened. And how the Lord, they had been threatened, you know. And so the Bible said when they heard that, they prayed. We had a men's meeting yesterday morning here at the church. There wasn't many of us here, but we had a good meeting. And we talked about what we need most, you know. What we need most. We need revival more than we need anything else. We need to get closer to God. We need to get closer to each other. I tell you, it seems like everything that's happening anymore is things that will separate and divide, you know, and will worry people, you know, and bring anxiety and fear into their lives, you know. And, you know, I think the devil is responsible for all of that. I don't know what you think, but he's our enemy. And the Bible said this in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. He said, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation, and your loins girt about with truth, and taking the sword of the Spirit, you know, and praying always. Praying always. And I wanted to get this in. When they heard, you know, when this church heard about the opposition to the Lord Jesus and how they wanted to stop the gospel from being preached, telling people that Jesus not only died, but he rose from the dead. And he lives. And he does heal. And he does save. And he does hear and answer prayer. When they heard this, the Bible said, and when they had prayed, they prayed. And the place was shaken where they were assembled. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. I want us to have a prayer this morning. Now, yeah, I don't know. I've done the best I could. I hope the Lord will bless me. The word of God today. But we need to be strengthened. And we need to be empowered. And you know what the Bible says? The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, if we could just replace the fear and the anxiety and the worry with the joy of the Lord, you know, we'd be a happier people than we are today. I believe we need to respect diseases and so on and try to protect yourself. But I believe the Lord can build a hedge about us too. I believe the Lord can help us. And I hope I've rightly applied the Word of God today. I know that all that's going on in this world, it's not against you and me as individuals. It's against what we stand for. It's against what we stand for. And we need strength to keep on standing. I just want us to have prayer. I want us to have a united prayer. An altar of prayer. Now, you don't have to get shoulder to shoulder. You can space out in here. You can get on your knees up and down the aisles. You can come up here in the choir by yourself. Or you can get over here in the amen corner by yourself. But I want to ask you today, let's pray. Let's pray that God will give us strength and that we'll be able to hold up Jesus to a lost and dying world. We've got lost people in our midst today. And nearly every Sunday we have lost people. And they need Jesus more than they need anything else. I want us to gather in. Would you just gather in with me? And let's pray together. You can find your spot wherever. You know, wherever. You can find your spot. Dr. Collins, will you start the prayer for us? And let's everyone pray.